You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai au e awhinei I a tātou, tihei mauri ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
For Green Desk this week, Ella is talking to John Sullivan, one of the founders of an app, iNaturalist New Zealand, which Sullivan hopes to drive in its free time. You don't need to worry if you don't know anything about it, because Ella started the interview by asking Sullivan more details of the app.
I don't think a lot of people realise that we're still in this amazing age of discovery with biodiversity, because the bulk of the species around us, still very little is known about them in science. Half of insects don't even have names yet. The ones that do have names, they're on pins in museums. We really don't know much about their biology. It's even worse for fungi and for marine stuff. So there's a whole lot of stuff we just don't know about. And modern technology is kind of opening the doors to let everybody get involved in that discovery, not just the folk that used to work in, and still work in museums and universities. So iNaturalist is kind of opening the doors to natural history for everybody to get involved. So anybody can pick up iNaturalist and make an observation, find out anything that's alive that they find. And if as more and more people are doing that, then we're finding out all this really cool stuff about nature that would have taken ages for the few experts in the country to finally get to, right? So we're really accelerating that age of discovery. And at the same time, as you and your listeners all know about it, that the world is changing fast because of all the stuff that's going on with how successful people are on the planet. We're dominating the planet and changing the planet in all sorts of strange ways, and that's having all sorts of both predictable and unpredictable effects on nature. And it's really important to have lots of eyes open observing nature right now, so we can really understand what's going on, so that we can anticipate the problems and kind of look after the place better than we have been in the past. So iNaturalist kind of sits right in the middle of that. It's an online community that it's free. Anybody can get involved. It's filled with lots of members of the public, lots of experts, all sort of working together just to explore nature and follow their curiosity. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's really exciting. It's a website, it's an app, it's all that stuff that you'd expect from modern technology. It's got a machine learning algorithm that automatically guesses what you find these days before an expert even looks at it. It's pretty cool. The other important thing is all the data that goes into iNaturalist doesn't just stay in iNaturalist. It goes into the International Global Biodiversity Information Facility for everybody to access. So from a science point of view, we are a gateway through into the global biodiversity data set. A lot of other systems out there are like little toy apps, essentially, that kind of everything that goes into them stays in there. Or if you post an image on Facebook, it just stays in Facebook. But everything that goes through iNaturalist goes into the formal, official international biodiversity data set, at least the good data that we can reliably identify. So I think that's an important element of this as well. There's science in this as well as all that nature fun as well.
If you see something that you don't recognize, when you, I guess, upload a picture, the algorithm tries to figure out what it is, and then if it's unsuccessful, then experts look at it, or how exactly does it work?
We look at it anyway, yeah. You know, I mean, as one of the users some years back put, this is better than TV, right? I mean, the people who really like biology are on this in the evenings, watching what's come through that day and reacting to it and commenting on it and checking IDs and all that kind of stuff. So you get lots of feedback anyway. It's like a Facebook for nature nerds from that end, but the public can tap into it just by picking up the free iNaturalist app, taking a photo of anything. The machine learning thing will use our, we've been going for 6 years now, so we've built up a vast library of properly identified photos that we can run machine learning algorithms on. So the system itself can already make a pretty good guess at what you've got, and the app will tell you what it thinks it is straight away if you're online. But once you've uploaded it, somebody will manually check every one of them that comes through as well and correct any mistakes. So it's kind of like Wikipedia in that sense, right? It's always auto-correcting, so it's getting better and better over time. I was just looking at the numbers before. We're growing every year, right? So we launched back in August 2012 as NatureWatch New Zealand. We're now, we've kind of joined in with the iNaturalist movement around the world, which started in San Francisco. So we're now the New Zealand node of the iNaturalist network globally, which is why we're going with iNaturalist New Zealand as a brand. It kind of simplifies things a lot. So that means that when you upload an observation of something weird, it's not just the New Zealand experts that are looking at it. It's people all around the world that are looking at this thing and giving you feedback on what things are. Yeah, but so we're growing all the time. I was just looking before. We're up this year so far. We've had 3,455 observers make 117,764 observations of 7,263 species. It's pretty cool. That's up like a quarter from last year. We just grow every year. But 7,200 species is phenomenal, right? When we started this, we figured out, you know, if we make this thing available in New Zealand, and we first made a fork of iNaturalist and made our own New Zealand blend of it as NatureWatch New Zealand before we integrated all the our customization into the mothership of iNaturalist. But when we started, we were thinking, oh, well, you know, this is going to be people like birds, people like plants. We're going to have lots of pictures of birds and plants and maybe the odd dead possum, right? It didn't work out that way at all. As soon as we opened the doors to all of biology, that curiosity about what's that bug in my backyard or what's that fungus I just saw walking down the track, that's what most of it is, right? So, you know, we only have, what, like 2,400 species of native flowering plants. People have made 7,200 observations of species this year. So we've got huge numbers of fungi, huge numbers of invertebrates, huge numbers of marine critters that are coming through this thing. As soon as, if you wanted to identify one of these things old school, you'd have to go to a library and pick up a dusty old book and learn some botanical or some other zoological jargon and try and work your way through some literature. It's really hard. But these days, you just take a photo, your app guesses what it is, somebody confirms it later, and bingo, you can learn anything. I'm a biologist, so I think that's really cool.
What are some of the surprising things that you've seen over the years that have shown up through this app?
Oh, heaps, yeah. It kind of works in a few ways. So people have found new species of native things. We had one of our early surprises was the discovery of what's called a poo moss, which is a species of moss that grows on rotting things like poo. and it makes these little colorful spores that our flies get attracted to that move their spores off to the next pooey thing. Anyway, that's a long story, but there was a new species that hadn't been seen ever in New Zealand. It's also known from Tasmania, but it was the first record of anywhere in New Zealand. We had a new kind of a fungus that hadn't been seen in more than 40 years. It's called Nevatogastrium baylisianum, and it was on the red list, right, for something that was potentially extinct. And a tramper in inland Otago just walked along this path, saw this thing, they didn't know what it was, took a photo of it, uploaded it onto us, and then Jerry Cooper at Manaaki Whenua Lanky Research Environment, he's a fungal expert in New Zealand, he noticed what it was, identified what it was, got super excited because it hadn't been seen in decades, and then the tramper managed to get him a sample of it, and then they ran the DNA, because they never had DNA done on it, because the old specimens were way too old to have any extractable DNA anymore. And then it turned out to be not even close to what they thought it was, and it was related to this thing that it grows in snowmelt up in Otago, but the closest relative is on tropical islands, subtropical islands in the Pacific. So really, really weird find, all because a tramper was just walking on past and followed their own curiosity and wanted to know what this thing was. Really, really good. We got lots of things like that, and then we also had lots of new records to New Zealand of exotics that hadn't been seen here before. So biosecurity is massive in New Zealand, and the best strategy for dealing with all these new invaders is to catch them really early and then stomp on them before they get established or before they really get settled in. And so having all these eyes open looking for new things is super important. So it's like one of them, the giant willow aphid, first seen on iNaturalist, and then subsequently has spread throughout most of the country over the last 3 years. It's the biggest aphid in New Zealand. It only attacks willows, and they're all exotic plants, although some of them are quite valuable in farmland for shelter belts and things. Mm-hmm. It's also these big aphids are now making sugary sap that's then feeding the Vespula wasps and other wasps, which are then building up numbers around the aphids. We didn't stop that one, but there have been lots of other things that have shown up that, I guess pessimistically, most of the things we've found so far we haven't stopped. But one of the examples that came just in September was we had a local resident of Christchurch City, Alice Shanks, found only the second record ever in the country of this giant veld grass. Veld grass, the regular veld grass from southern Africa, is this horrible pest grass that spreads all around the sides of our tracks and chokes the sides of tracks through forest. It was voted by the New Zealand Conservation Network is the worst weed in New Zealand some years back. Mm. That one. She found a bigger leaved relative of it, only the second time that had ever been seen in the country, growing on the edge of a driveway in Christchurch City. So really important discovery, and the Christchurch City Council has stomped on it now and sprayed that patch, and hopefully we won't see that around again. But that's the kind of stuff that we really need, right? Something shows up for the first time, somebody says, oh, what's that? I haven't seen that before. Takes a picture of it. Proper authorities get alerted. It gets stomped on and we don't see it again. So that's cool too.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Order.
If you want to know more about the app, you can visit www.inaturalist.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.